Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Splintered by Isabel Lucero, narrated by Cooper North and Declan Winters. Part 1. Chance Encounter. Your dildo launch was exceptional. Chapter 1. Devon.
What the hell are you going to do out there by yourself?
My agent, Steve Burham, asks, his voice booming through the phone.
Whatever I want, Steve. That's the whole point. When are you coming back?
I sigh. I don't know yet. About a one-way ticket.
We got movies to make, Devin.
We have other actors besides myself, Steve. It's why I started my own production company and hired a bunch of people to help run it. I don't want to have to be there 24/7.
There's a lot of guys trying to get hired after you said you'd pay them nearly twice as much as most of the other companies. Don't you want to be here to help in the process?
I trust my casting directors. Plus, Kara is the production manager, and she knows her job better than anyone. She'll handle it.
Did you get the email from Sword Saver? Your dildo launch was exceptional. A ton of sites were out of stock within hours.
Yeah, I saw it, I reply, handing my plane ticket to the woman at the gate. I'm about to get on the plane, so I'll talk to you when I'm back.
You're not going to have your phone on you the whole time?
He questions. I want to disconnect from the world. I don't want anyone calling or texting. I will check in when I'm ready. Bye, Steve.
Devin, wait.
I end the call and turn off the phone prior to sitting in my first class passenger seat. Before everyone is on the plane, I already have my earbuds in and eyes closed. I'm beyond ready for a vacation. I don't remember the last time I went somewhere that wasn't in some way related to business. My first 5 years in the sex industry basically consisted of taking any job I could, so I was able to pay rent and eat dinner. After a while, and thanks to internet sites like Twitter and OnlyFans, I was able to grow my fan base. Once companies started noticing how popular I was becoming, I started getting more job offers and was able to request a higher paycheck. I've been working almost nonstop since then, needing to become more successful, seeking the title of the most popular and highest-paid porn star in the industry. It started with simply wanting to get more than $500 for a scene. Then I wanted to get scenes with popular actors. After that, I wanted to produce and direct. Once I accomplished those things, I needed my own production company so I could treat actors the way I wish I had been treated in my first several years. Now I'm creating a line of sex toys, can pick and choose my scenes with whoever I want, and have more money than I ever thought possible in this industry. However, I've recently started to feel like I've lost myself. Like I'm splintered into different pieces to try to make everyone happy. My agent, my business partners, my clients, my viewers, and my parents. Granted, my parents have not been happy with me for over a decade, but I feel like they were my sole motivation to get to where I am. They doubted I'd be able to be successful in such a dirty and trashy industry. They were embarrassed, and I wanted to prove to them I could be rich and famous in my own right. As the son of Hollywood icons Sophia De Leon and William Davis, both of my parents wanted and expected me to take after them. They were huge advocates of nepotism, forcing me into commercials as a toddler and small roles in their films. As I got older, they wanted to introduce me to a friend of a friend for a modeling casting call, or promised I'd be a shoo-in for a role in a TV series. It's not that I wasn't interested in being an actor, but when you have two people forcing you into it from a young age, it's no longer this lofty dream. It's work in an ugly, cutthroat business. It's spreading rumors about someone going against you for a role in order to secure it for yourself. It's not an easy industry to make friends in, and when you're young, all you want is for people to like you. So when I was 18, after a huge fight with my dad about not wanting to audition for a role in his film, I blurted out that I would rather do porn.
that eventually turned into my reality, and when I moved out, I was cut off from their millions and forced to find a way on my own. That's what ultimately led to my workaholic personality and finding a business in which I could trick myself into thinking everyone I slept with actually liked me. I'm successful now, the highest paid actor in porn, sitting on an empire that will continue to make me money for years to come. And yet, I'm still not happy. I'm taking this vacation for a sense of tranquility. I want to be completely selfish here and do what makes me happy without worrying about others. I pull a blanket up to my chin and fall asleep, ready to be on a bright, sunny island where nobody should care about who I am or what I do. "Welcome to Black Diamond Resort and Spa," the man tells me as I approach the reception desk. He's fairly young, his skin bronze from being out in this tropical weather all the time. His hair is sandy blonde, and his eyes are as blue as the ocean. I read his name tag. "Thanks, Tyler." Typing on his keyboard, he says, "I have you staying here for the rest of June. Is that correct?" "As of now." He nods, a gracious smile on his lips. "Okay, we have you set up in Bungalow 6, and one of our employees will drive you out there." He hands me a folder. "This is everything you may need. There's a map of the island, a list of restaurants and activities available to you, and the phone numbers to the cleaning and butler staff if you need anything. Your room has a keyless entry. There's a bracelet that will unlock the door for you, as well as many facilities here at the resort, like the gym and business center. Is this your first time, sir?" I nod. "Yeah." "Well, the Black Diamond Resort and Spa is split into two sections. You're here on the resort side, but there is a rehab on the other side of the mountain. You should have no need to go over there, but if you're exploring the jungle, you may find yourself amongst new staff and guests. They have rules and curfews, so it's best to not go too far." "I don't think I'll find myself in the jungle," I say with a laugh. "There are some beautiful waterfalls, sir," he says with a smile. "Could be a nice place to relax." I dip my chin. "I'll keep that in mind." "I'm going to have Mateo drive you to your bungalow," he says, gesturing to a man in a white shirt and khaki pants who's standing near the door. "Please let us know if you need anything, and enjoy your stay." "Thank you," I reply with a nod, hiking my backpack higher on my shoulder. "Bungalow 6, sir?" Mateo questions, though he obviously knows. "Yes. Are my bags here yet?" "We've already taken them to your room, sir." "Oh, thank you." "Of course," he says, walking toward a golf cart. I slip into the back as he drives us away from the main building, passing a large pool, other guests, and many, many trees. When he stops, we're in front of a long pier that travels out over the crystalline water where bungalows spread out on both sides, seemingly floating over the water. When I look to my left and right, I notice there are a few more piers with the same setup. "Are all of these occupied?" I ask as we begin our walk along the pier. "No, sir. Out of the 12 on this pier, I believe only 8 are currently occupied. That's not to say that won't change." Even with my sunglasses on, I squint as I look out into the water, noticing some people on kayaks and others on paddle boards. "Where do we go to rent a kayak?" I ask. "You can call us and we can have one delivered to you, sir. Otherwise, the water sport equipment is farther down the beach." "Okay." We turn right where the pier veers off to lead to a bungalow. "Here you are, sir," Mateo says, gesturing at the door. "The bracelet in the folder will open it up. Do you need anything else before I leave you?" No, I think I'm good, thanks," I say, pulling the band from the folder. "You're welcome. Enjoy your stay." When I walk inside, I look through every room. It's even more beautiful than the photos online. I knew to expect opulence with the price tag that comes along with a private island stay in bungalows that sit over the Caribbean, but seeing it in person is incredible. The king-sized bed looks out over the water and back patio, and the kitchen is stocked with full-sized liquor bottles, juices, water, and other mixers. On the small dining table is a bowl of fruit and a basket full of bagged snacks like pretzels, muffins, and chips. When I cross in front of the bed, I walk over a rectangular piece of glass floor and find myself watching fish swim below me. My luggage is inside the walk-in closet where there's a robe, slippers, and extra towels and blankets. The bathroom is incredible, with a large soaking tub standing right in front of sliding doors that will open up to the back veranda. From the inside shower, you can also step right outside to an outdoor shower. There's a small privacy wall, blocking anyone from being able to see me while I'm outside. There's patio furniture, a private pool, a daybed under the palapa, and a few steps that descend to a lower platform with a couple of chairs. Once I've taken it all in, I go back inside and flop onto the bed. I pull my phone out of my pocket, ready to power it on and see how many messages I have already. As soon as it lights up, the notifications pour in. I've only been out of touch for 11 hours, and Steve has left 2 voicemails and sent 5 texts. My business partner Saeed has sent an email about an upcoming movie we'll be producing. A handful of messages come from other actors I've been working with lately who are inquiring about job opportunities, and the company that made and sold the dildo created from a mold of my own cock is now interested in selling a mouth stroker. I reply to what's necessary before shutting it down again and reaching for the remote on the nightstand. When I turn on the flat screen that's hoisted on the wall to the left of the bed, it's already on a sports channel. I'm not much of a sports guy. I know the names of some popular teams, but I don't regularly watch any of it. However, there's a familiar face on the screen, so I leave it on and turn the volume up. Bivens is definitely hanging his head after that crushing miss. The Bobcats up the whole game with the finals in their sight, and all Bivens had to do was keep the Panthers from making a goal. And what did he do, Bob? He gave up 2, back-to-back. My God, that's gonna hurt for a while. I watch as they replay the scene over and over, and then again in slow motion. I know we all have failures and make mistakes, but I couldn't imagine mine being broadcast over the TV like this, with commentators making you feel even worse. It's been years since I've spoken to Jared Bivens. Last I saw him, we were in the uppity private school our parents put us in. High school was over 10 years ago, and yet some of those memories are still so vivid. Like the color of the convertible he was so happy about. Cherry red. The purple backpack he wore each year. His eyes, the most unique set I've ever seen. He has sectoral heterochromia, so one of his eyes is this beautiful dark blue on the outer edge, melding into an aquamarine color, while his other eye is split down the middle, half brown, while the other half has the same blue mix. "I like your eyes," I remember telling him one day. "Oh yeah? What else do you like about me?" He was joking, but I always regretted never answering. We were hardly friends, mostly associates. We didn't run in the same circles, but we had classes together. He was my first crush, first love, probably. Unrequited and mostly puppy love, but still, he blew open my world in a way he'll never know, and I was simply a guy who helped him pass his classes. Now look at us. A porn star and a pro hockey player. We definitely don't run in the same circles now.
Have you heard of the penis fish? Chapter 2. Jared.
Here you are, sir, Bungalow 8. Your belongings have been placed in your room already. Please let us know if you need anything. I hope you enjoy your stay. I nod at the man who brought me to my temporary residence and close the door behind me when I step in. After looking through the rooms, I grab a bottle of water from the fridge and immediately go out onto the veranda. I find a large outdoor storage container with snorkeling equipment inside, and a cooler sat next to a hammock made from what looks like a catamaran net. This is exactly what I need. A tropical paradise on a private island away from any sort of ice and hopefully away from anyone who knows anything about hockey. My phone dings with a text notification, so I pull it out of the pocket of my shorts and stretch along the outdoor couch. It's from my older sister. Gina. Hey, just wanted to make sure you landed safely. Me. I'm safe, just hanging outside. You've got to see this view. Gina. Then FaceTime me. She appears on the screen after a single ring. How you doing? I'm good. Let me flip the camera. I sit up on the couch and slowly pan the phone around. Is that an outdoor shower? Yep. Also, there's a little floating thing attached to steps that take you to the water. So I can float in place, I say with a chuckle. The water looks amazing. Yeah, I can't wait to jump in later. Did you see the pool? Why do you need a pool if you're surrounded by water? I shrug. I don't know. Cleaner, no fish? She laughs. Well, it looks really peaceful. That's what I'm looking for. I lie back down on the couch and switch the camera back to front-facing. How's my niece and nephew? They're fine. Crazy as ever. Cece thinks she's a dinosaur and Connor is scared of her. I bark out a laugh. Gotta love toddlers. When are you going to come visit? Maybe after I leave here. I can catch a flight to Chicago before I go back to California. Well, we'd love to see you. You talk to Mom and Dad? I spoke to them before I left. She nods, chewing on her lip. I know she's wanting to say something, but she's doing her best to keep it inside. Just say it, G. I know you got some words fighting to get out. I don't want you blaming yourself, Jay. It's a team sport, and just because you're the goalie doesn't mean it's solely your fault. You had an amazing season, and you're still one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. Don't let this get to you too much, okay? I sigh. Thank you. I just needed a getaway, you know? I hope you have the best time. I'm jealous. I'll be in the office seeing patients tomorrow while you're skinny-dipping in water that belongs on a postcard. Skinny-dipping isn't a bad idea. It's pretty private over here. She cringes. Please. Have you heard of the penis fish? They can swim up the urethra and... Okay, that's enough, I say, holding up my hand. I'm pretty sure that's somewhere else, though. I'm just saying. Well, I'll do my skinny dipping in the pool. Good idea. I gotta go. I think Connor's crying. Okay, love you. Love you more. My stomach rumbles with hunger, so I push myself up and walk through the bungalow, exiting through the front door and walking down the pier. I see a couple disappear into one of the bungalows, hand in hand and laughing. They're probably on their honeymoon. At another, there's a man pacing outside his door looking completely stressed, and on the other side, I see a man wearing a black and white striped tank top and white shorts walk out of his place. I quicken my steps so we don't end up having to walk side by side all the way down the pier. After about 5 minutes of strolling on a path that cuts through lush greenery and towering trees, I glance behind me and spot the guy in the tank top several yards back. He's got on a pair of sunglasses, his profile visible as he looks out to the left. A spark of familiarity hits me, but I'm not sure why. Another few minutes go by before I reach the main building. Inside, I wander around, avoiding what I think are curious gazes. I know a lot of people who come here are celebrities in their own right or very wealthy, but that doesn't mean they can't be fans of other celebrities. Hell, I heard the drummer from Wicked Hearts was sent to the rehab side of this island last month, and if I saw him, I'd probably have a hard time not staring too. It doesn't help that my face has been plastered all over the TV the last couple of days. My failures on repeat for everyone to discuss and critique. So when I see a couple guys doing double takes in my direction, I make a sharp turn and exit the building. I end up finding a restaurant that overlooks one of the resort's infinity pools. After being seated, I place my order and then get up to go to the salad bar. Once I've loaded up two plates with both salad and fruit, I head back to my table and wait for my burger to be brought out. My eyes track the guests milling about below, wondering who all might be out here. Actors, singers, other athletes. After I polish off my salad, I push the plate to the other side of the table and start on the fruit. The tank top guy strolls in, grabbing my attention. There's a handful of guests eating here, but there's something about this one that has everyone turning their heads. A woman guides him to a seat several tables away and diagonally from my own, and I watch as he brings the menu up to his face. Something about him has me frozen in place. my gaze unable to look away. I know him from somewhere. Is he a model? Have I seen him on billboards or something? Everything about him screams model. He's tall and lithe and moves with ease and comfortability. One of the waitresses brings me my food. I put all my focus on eating, not having had anything to eat on the trip over. When I'm done, I drink another glass of water and study the view. Movement gets my attention, so my eyes flicker over and spot the guy from earlier returning to his seat from the salad bar. I watch as he pushes the glasses from his face to rest on his head, and almost like it's in slow motion, his eyes lift and meet mine. It doesn't happen instantly. I'm still trying to figure out where I know him from when his brows dip in the middle. His eyes widen and he cocks his head slightly, and I realize he recognizes me. He mouths my name. I can't even hear it, but I know he says my name. Just my first name. Not both, like people do with celebrities. And all of a sudden, it hits me. I don't know him as a celebrity. I know him because we went to school together. Devin?
Nobody could mistake you for Small. Chapter 3. Devin. Jared. His name leaves my mouth in the faintest whisper. I just left my room and saw his face on my television, and now he's here, staring at me like he's trying to remember who I am. He's remained such a memorable figure in my life, and yet I'm hardly recognizable to him. When I realize my lips are parted, I close my mouth and shift in my seat, looking down at my food. I hear his chair scrape along the floor, and without lifting my head, I know he's on his way over. It isn't until he's at my table that I allow my eyes to flicker up. Devin. He declares my name like he's reminding me of who I am. It's not a question on his lips. He remembers, even if it took him a minute. I smile at him. Jared. Come on, man. His voice is boisterous as he outstretches his thick arms like he wants to hug me. Standing up, I give him one of those weird hugs where you only wrap your arms around the tops of their shoulders without allowing the rest of your body to touch. Wow, I didn't expect to see you here, I say, taking my seat. He sits in the chair across from me, his face alight with joy. Yeah, I bet. Holy crap. How long has it been? I pick up my fork and stab at some lettuce. Well, high school was about 11 years ago. Damn, don't make me feel old. I laugh, my old teenage nerves coming back. In school, anytime I was around Jared, my stomach was in knots. I knew I was gay then, but nobody else did. Well, they might have guessed, but I never came out. I kept crushes a secret and didn't even think about having relationships. I went along with the crowd and avoided dating questions if possible. Jared was my first crush. I saw him and had never felt such attraction. It was him who really sealed the deal on my sexuality. I was questioning leading up to high school, and then there he was and I was done for. He was the complete opposite of me. Where I was thin, he was wide with muscles. Though I had abs, simply for having almost no body fat and being a teenager, Jared in my eyes looked like a grown man. You could tell he'd been an athlete his whole life. His muscles were full and round. He's at least 5 inches taller than me, and where my hair is dark brown, his is very light with almost blonde coloring naturally streaked throughout. You look good, man. What have you been up to? He questions. I don't allow the compliment to do anything to me, or at least I only allow myself to focus on it for a couple seconds. Not much, I reply. Just working all the time, and now I'm finally trying to relax. He nods and doesn't question what it is that I do. I definitely understand. And you? I ask, finally taking a bite of my salad. I don't want to bring up the fact that I know he's a hockey player, especially since I'm sure he's not really wanting to talk about what just happened a few days ago.
Just trying to live the life, you know, he says after a few long seconds. I nod along, chewing my food. How long are you out here for? He looks to the side, checking out the view.
Well, it's going to be hard to leave, that's for sure. I don't have anywhere to be until August.
I sputter out a laugh. That's quite a while. Are you staying that long? Jared's eyes are back on me again, his grin widening.
I wish, but I don't know for sure. Just playing it by ear. A few weeks would be nice. What about you?
Hopefully the remainder of June if I can get away with it. His brows raise slightly. We're both aware of the cost of this place, so he has to be wondering what I do to afford it. When we were teenagers, we went to a school that most celebrities, politicians, and the extremely wealthy sent their kids. Maybe he assumes I'm here on Mom and Dad's dime. I know his dad owned a huge tech company, and I'm sure he still does.
Where do you live now? He asks.
I'm still in the LA area, just a different part.
You? San Jose.
Ah, so a good 6 or 7 hours away.
Something like that.
He stares at me for a few seconds, his lips curled into a crooked grin.
And now we're here. What a small world.
I raise my brows, nodding my head as I dig around in my salad.
Indeed. So, catch me up. What's been going on? You married? Dating? Kids? Divorced?
I put down my fork and bring a napkin to my lips. If I was married and had kids and was spending a month out here, I'd say that wouldn't be the best look. He chuckles.
Oh, right. I guess not.
I'm not, nor have I ever been, married. No kids, either.
Same. Well, I date around, I guess. Nothing serious. Never even been close to thinking about marriage, he says, rubbing his knee.
The sun begins to go down, shining directly in my face, so I bring my glasses back over my eyes. I'd like to get married one day, but... I trail off, unwilling to say, but I'll probably never find anyone who'd be okay with me doing porn.
I don't know. We'll see.
He's quiet for a bit.
Did you get into modeling?
My lips quirk.
You think I could be a model? Well, I kind of remember you saying your parents wanted you to, and you look like, I mean, you know, models in LA are these pretty guys that are in shape but not very big.
His eyes go wide.
Wait, no, I don't mean that like, you know, I don't mean in a bad way. You just look like maybe you could be a model.
He's flustered, his cheeks turning pink, and it makes my smile grow wider until I'm laughing. It's fine, I get what you're saying. Jared exhales, shaking his head.
I really didn't mean any offense.
Offense? I question. You said I'm pretty and in shape. That's a compliment. He has another crooked smile, his face still flushed.
I might be offended if someone called me small, he says with a shrug.
I bark out a laugh. Nobody could mistake you for small. I'm thankful for the dark shades, because now he can't see my eyes perusing his wide shoulders and full biceps. They'd be saying that simply to get a rise out of you. Jared shrugs and looks away before focusing on my salad.
I'm sorry I interrupted your meal.
He stands.
I can let you eat. I think we're staying near each other, he says, gesturing with his thumb.
The over-the-water bungalows? Oh, yeah, I say with a nod, looking up at him.
I didn't realize it was you, but I saw you leave your place when I was walking down.
So I guess we'll see each other fairly often, I say with a smile.
Yeah, I should give you my number. You can text if you want to get a drink or something. I know you probably came out here for peace, and I won't harass you too much, but it may be nice to have someone to talk to every once in a while.
Well, if I remember anything about you, Jared, you were quite the friendly extrovert. I'm sure you'll make friends with two people before you even get back to your room, I say. His grin falters just slightly before he forces it again.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?